I'm Mark Steiner, and welcome to another episode of Theater Baltimore, which we do all the time here on this program because, as I've said and say all the time, Baltimore is a great theater town, from center stage to every man to all the dozens of theaters, single carrot and the rest, that cover this town. But we're going back to center stage in this conversation. There's a really fun and interesting, enjoyable play at center stage called The Rivals. Written by Richard Brinsley Sheridan, an 18th century play. And one of my favorite characters in that play was Mrs. Malaprop. And she has graced, or not she, but the woman who plays her, Christine Nielsen, is in our studios. And Christine, welcome. Good to have you with us.
Oh, thank you so much. It's a pleasure.
That play. First of all, the list is, before we talk about Miss Malaprop.
Before I perform any malaprops for you, because I'm sure it's now going to be what's going to happen.
It has to happen.
It does. I thought it would be so easy because I've already reached that stage in my life where I'm saying things wrong all the time. But strangely, it was very hard to make sure I was wrong all the time. Because you have to know, you have to try to say it right to say it wrong.
Exactly. It was so fun. I mean, and the way you did the part, that voice you found and the haughtiness and the way you did the, it was really amazing to watch on stage.
Oh, well, thank you. It's great fun. You know, that's what, my mother would be very proud of you for saying that, for all the money she spent on the training.
Came to some good.
Yes. Oh, my God. She's finally using it.
So this play.
Though she would say, stop with your faces. They'll stick like that. That's the only other thing she said. Now, having seen some of the photos, I think she was right.
They didn't stick like that,
though. Oh, they were, some of them are scary.
Some of them are scary.
Yes.
Mrs. Malaprop. This stage in this production, first of all, it's an 18th century play.
Mm-hmm.
One that's not done a lot. Is it?
No, it isn't. And it's strange to me it isn't, because it seems very accessible. You know, it's about family and it's about love and it's about miscommunication through, it's very direct. It's nothing political in it. There's nothing about kings and queens fighting over land. And so it's a very personal play. So I'm surprised it's not done more.
It's a little bit of a romantic comedy about the English language.
Yes, of course. Well, he was having fun with the English, being an English Irishman, as we said earlier,
right.
but at the same time, very witty Irishman making fun.
I mean, this play, one thing you have to say about this play is one of the things you have to kind of sense a little bit of to enjoy the play, I think, is a sense of the English language, of the nuances of the English language.
Well, not only that, the different dialects in the English language. You know, he made fun of all himself, an Irishman, Lucius O'Trigger,
and Lucius O'Trigger, that's a very funny role.
And you know, he embraced the stereotypes of many of those different people. So it's fun to do that. So
and your character, Mrs. Malaprop.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she was just so amazing. Talk about the character for our listeners and who she was and who she is and what you did.
Well, for me, you know, David and I talked a lot. He plays Sir Anthony. David Margulies, a marvelous actor.
Who played the Sopranos attorney.
Tony
Soprano's attorney in The Sopranos.
He's played my father before in a play.
He played your father before.
I was very happy to work with him again, because he and his partner, the marvelous Lois Smith, played my mother and father in a play up at Long Wharf. And so to be reunited with him was like, oh, yay.
That's great.
It's just like a kid in a candy store, because I knew he would be fun to do things with. But to start with, it was the vulnerability. I was not interested in being a dragon woman. She's sort of described as that by her niece, you know. But I think old people are all dragon people to young people. Do you know, somebody who would control your life would be a monster, do you know.
Right, exactly.
Not doing what you want them to do and trying to help you. So I wanted a certain vulnerability, and I thought that's how some of the malaprops could come out. Trying so hard. Trying too hard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, trying to please everybody, and also trying to find romance in her own way. You know, her niece is very passionate about romance novels or romance, and I thought, well, I bet you Mrs. Malaprop is too. And there just was all that stuff with Sir Anthony in the beginning, and all that I thought, oh, she's trying really hard here. She's trying to impress this man, and not really doing a great job at it. she's not really controlling her niece. You know, she's not really, Cece, here I am, really strong with my niece. I know what I'm doing. You know, and it wasn't. And as I said, that's what was so fun with David, because he could see right through all of that and sort of pierce me a couple of times to make me look like a panic-stricken, you know, like, you know, I don't know what I'm saying next, which Mrs. Malaprop doesn't know what she's saying
and
next.
And you did it well. I mean, one of the things that struck me as soon as I saw you today in here in our studios was that the mark of a, to me, one of the marks of a great actor is that they're nothing like the person you saw on stage.
Oh, thank God. That's what I say to you when I, as I see the pictures. Thank God.
I mean, you look so, I mean, really, I mean, because you kind of were able to develop this character and kind of ballooned her up. And
yes, yeah. Yeah, well, she's just, you know, David did such a fantastic job of the costumes and our director, so that the look is so exaggerated and wonderful, and you think it's all gorgeous when it's really over the top in so many ways. You know, the butterflies and the...
Right.
You know, how crazy is that? Somebody who thinks she's so youthful and beautiful on one hand, with the white makeup of the period. Like, most of the... There's some modern touches throughout the production. But I thought it was very important to keep the artifice of a woman who wears too much makeup, tries to look too young, all of the things that are, again, to make her vulnerable.
One of the things that's described in the play a little bit for our listeners, and also just to talk about one of the staging parts of the play I liked a lot, which was that what he did was what David Schweitzer did, who's been on the show several times, other plays he's directed at Center Stage, was his colorblind casting.
Yeah.
That is a multiracial cast of characters set in 18th century England, which I... Like,
I think that's so important. I think
that
looks
really
like
important.
It looks like the city. It looks like people can identify with it.
Right.
You know, I was lucky to go to a drama school when that was what was happening.
Where'd you go?
I went to Yale Drama School, and they made sure that happened. That we didn't sit there and think, well, now everybody has to be this color line for this family, and you know, we sort of exploded it then.
So
but
you
that
were
was
at Yale when
Brustein.
Brustein was the director?
Yes. Okay. Well, he was the artistic director. And a little bit of Lloyd. Mm-hmm. Lloyd was there
Lloyd Richards.
Lloyd Richards was 1 year. And that was important to me because I have been in productions that don't reflect the culture. And I just think, well, that makes it not relevant. I mean, art is only about a mirror to our society, I think.
Right.
And especially theater. I want people to be very aware of what they're seeing is what they could see in their life. And I think that's the great thing that David Schweitzer did, is that he made sure there's something for everyone in this, and it's great. Manu is fantastic as Jack Absolute, and he's a marvelous Indian actor. You know, it's great. And there's no question. I don't think people even
question
it.
No, it wasn't
even
a question. I like seeing it and seeing it, the naturalness with which a multiracial cast is put into a play like this. I think that's important.
I think
stuff.
It's the only way to do a play like
that.
And
this. People need work.
Yes, yes.
And when you take actors who are not white and they're pigeonholed into certain characters, it limits the amount of work people can have.
And you know, it's a much more interesting. And I think because of Baltimore being such a fascinating city and so multi-ethnic, that it's, why wouldn't you embrace that?
Exactly.
It makes it, I'd go see something like that. I wouldn't want to see an all-white revival, you know, of The Rivals. I wouldn't.
Right.
It wouldn't have anything to do even for me, and I'm white.
and now you can see it till October 30th. This play, I mean, let's talk a bit about play again. And this is this kind of farce built around almost foiled loves between people and the comedy of getting people in and out. So in that sense, this is a classic story.
Absolutely. Almost a classic farce, too, with Captain Absolute, which is, again, Manu, who's playing so many different personalities himself, many roles as a young man, as the romantic interest, that, you know, his situations are always getting, is he going to get caught? Is he not going to get caught? Who is he to me, Mrs. Malaprop, versus who he is to my niece, to my niece, Lydia? Language. It's two different people.
The names.
So I know.
Lydia Language.
I know Lydia Language.
Captain Absolute.
They're great. As I said, they tell you right off that it's just going to be a lot of fun.
There's no hidden agenda.
No, there's no hidden agenda. There's nothing. They're fun. They're out there, and people laugh almost, you know, as you said, with the name Sir Lucius O'Trigger, it's hard not to get a slight giggle when you think, right, oh, there's the Irishman's coming, Sir Lucius O'Trigger. You know, it's
very funny.
It's great.
So, and this is malaprop. I mean, the whole idea of malapropisms. Is that the right word? Malapropisms?
Yes, it is. Malaprops. Or malaprop? Malapropisms. Yeah, I think you're right. But I think she'd be thrilled to know she's in Wikipedia. That she created that word, you know, or he did.
He created that word. Oh, he created that word?
I think that's exactly somebody who says the wrong. She's now, it's a malaprop.
Right, it's a malaprop. It's a word you use. It sounds like the right word, but it isn't the right word.
So it was. It came from
this. I thought that he named it because she used them.
The whole character, the idea of saying something wrong and everything came from this book.
Interesting.
I mean, I'm sure that people were saying wrong things, you know, as we do, as I gently age,
as we all
I
do.
Realize that I'm saying half the time something wrong. And I think he just dramatized it.
Can you give us a little bit, Mrs. Malaprop? Is that fair to ask you to do that? Not fair? Well, I won't do it.
Well, I don't know what.
I don't know what either. Let's think.
What would you want? Yeah. It's at my creed, which is, you know, observe me, Saint-Denis. I would by no means wish a daughter of mine to be a progeny of learning. I don't think so much learning becomes a young woman. No, Sir Anthony, I would send her at 9 years old to a boarding school in order to learn a little ingenuity and artifice. And then, sir, she should have a supercilious knowledge in accounts. And as she grew up, I would have her instructed in geometry, that she might know something of the contagious countries. But above all, Sir Anthony, she should be a mistress of orthodoxy, that she might not misspell or mispronounce words so shamefully, as girls usually do, and likewise, that she might reprehend the true meaning of what she is saying. That is her creed. Desperate, desperate creed. I mean, when he turns on her and says, tell me how you would raise it, the panic that must courses through me of like, oh, how will I answer this man? That's what fuels me.
I love that.
It is crazy. It's crazy. Just lost in her own language.
When she came on stage, she like takes over. When she takes the stage.
Oh, yes. Yes. Well, she's the grand dame of the house. And you know, you have to. I'm supposed to be in control, so I try very hard.
It's wonderful. I just love it. So I'm curious about your work in the past. Your work has been mostly in theater and some film, right?
Yes, mostly. I prefer theater as a medium because it's the most gratifying, I think, for an actor. Back and forth with an audience is just such a great gift. I love that. I know. I've always said to young artists, if you're not going to try to change the world, don't get into the business. You know, you have to try to affect people and be important in their lives, because I think art is essential to our lives. And that's why I'm in it. So I stuck mostly with theater. Film and television is fun and lucrative, but a different medium, you know.
It's a very different medium. It takes different skills.
And it's more collaborative in the sense that you're probably lesser in control with film and television, that you're more beholden to editors and directors and writers in a different way. The theater is the actor's medium.
Right.
Absolutely.
They have to do the work.
It's us out there with the audience.
What were we talking about? The plays coming to center stage next?
American Buffalo.
American Buffalo by David Mamet.
Which is such a wonderful play, yeah.
And you were talking about the last production, how the actors couldn't remember lines because they were TV actors and they were using different brain muscles.
They were doing different brain muscles. And, you know, you think back. I mean, we were talking about when we saw American Buffalo, I saw the great Al Pacino do it, and that was just a treat. You know, he was in top form and it was exciting, you know. And I love David Mamet. I think he's, again, a great American, great playwright who really, you know, is one of our greats.
He is. I mean, and language. I mean, one of the things about this play, The Rivals, when you said talk about David Mamet as a
well, he uses it as a weapon, which is kind of great.
But it's about language. Or August Wilson. It's about language and how you use language, the power of language, and how that's interpreted then through the actor.
Right. Right. Well, that's what theater is most exciting about, and you know, without an audience, it doesn't exist, and that's what I also love about it, is that the audience is so much an integral part of it. You know, you're communicating, and it's a great thing between back and forth in the community. And you know pretty quickly if you're relevant to them or not. Mm-hmm. And that's important.
You've probably gotten some great responses from the audience.
We've been really lucky and happy with this one. It was a terrific cast, and we all have fun. And I think that's the most important thing. You know, if you're going to do a comedy, get out there and have fun and make it make people want to see it. And I think we do. I think we have a good time.
Absolutely do. And I mean,
it's very hard for me to keep a straight face with some of these characters.
Even on stage?
Oh, my goodness, yes, yes. Oh, yes, yes. The quietest people scare you the most because they're funny. You know,
they're all funny. The opening of the play, the young man plays a servant. When you open the play, you see him scrubbing the stage.
Oh, yes, Danny. Danny Gaffigan. Great.
Wonderful actor.
A really wonderful actor. And I think sort of came up through around this area. Do you know? Now he's back in New York. But a wonderful talent from the from Baltimore, Washington area, I think. Great. And it's really been fun to work with him.
I really would encourage everybody to see this play. I think it's really very funny, and it's not going to be here much longer. It ends October 30th.
October 30th, yes. Two more weeks,
and it's called The Rivals by Richard Brinsley Sheridan, directed by David Schweitzer, who's written, this may be his fifth, sixth play at Center Stage. He's done lots of plays.
Yes.
And some really wonderful stuff.
And marvelously, a native Baltimorean.
Another native Baltimorean.
Yes. That's right. Really important. That's great. And I think that was a wonderful choice for Kwame, the new artistic director, to have chosen someone, again, from the community, you know, that is as he gets to know the community.
He gets to know the community. Kwame Kwe Arma.
Yes.
Has taken hold of Center
Stage. I'll let you say the last name.
Arma. Kwame Kwe Arma.
That's such a beautiful name.
It is a beautiful name. Quasi, as he's known, but mm-hmm. Good to have you here in the studio. It's good to have you in the studios. This has been Christine Nielsen is playing Mrs. Malaprop. Just a role that you will not forget and that will just send you rolling in the aisles if you're close to an aisle seat.
Thank you so much. It was
so
a
much.
Pleasure to come in.
This is great. Thank you so much. The Mark Steiner Show is made possible by the Maryland Parkinson's Disease and Movement Disorders Center, providing clinical research trials that evaluate new therapies and the latest treatment options, including surgical intervention for advancing stages of disease. The number for more information is 1-800-492-5538. The Mark Steiner Show is a production of the Center for Emerging Media. Our producers are Justin Levy and Christina Arison. Our theme music is by Wal Matthews of Clean Cuts. To hear this show again, podcast any of our past shows, hear additional interviews, please visit us on the web at steinershow.org. And for Public Radio, WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. I'm Mark Steiner. Take care.